Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the Everything Is Black and White podcast. It's just gone 2 o'clock. It is transfer deadline day. I'm Andrew Musgrove, joined by a Newcastle United editor, Aaron Stokes. We are live on Facebook, YouTube and Twitter, and it'll be on the podcast channel later on. So just bear that in mind for when you are listening on there. Drop us a like on the good old podcast channel and a subscription on the YouTube channel, please. And leave us a rating and review if you get the chance. As we said there, transfer deadline day. And of course, the little matter of the second leg of the EFL Cup semi-final against Southampton, which we will touch on towards the end of the show. But we know people watching, people listening, they want to know all about transfers. Aaron, what is the latest with Newcastle United? We expect John Joe Shelvey to be announced imminently at Nottingham Forest, which leaves Newcastle United desperately short, I think in my view, I think in your view, most people watching this, desperately short in midfield. Will they find a replacement for John Joe Shelvey before the deadline?
It's looking more and more unlikely. I think, you know, we're 8-9 hours away from the deadline as we're speaking. At the moment, it doesn't look like they're going to be able to get anyone over the line. I mean, these things can move very quickly, and because Newcastle are looking more for a loan than a transfer, you never know if someone's going to pop up late. But all the targets that they've been trying to, you know, get a deal done for in the last couple of days seem to have fallen flat, the likes of Sander Berge, the likes of Conor Gallagher. So they are, at this moment in time, very, very short in the centre of midfield.
You mentioned there Sander Berge. It's believed that Newcastle would like to go for a loan first and then look at maybe signing him permanently in the summer. Sheffield United don't want to do that. It seems Fulham have or at least on the same page in terms of wanting a permanent transfer. Whether the fee's been agreed still remains to be seen. But why are Newcastle taking that approach, do you think? Because you look at the squad list, and I don't think it's no surprise to anyone that they are already short before Shelvey leaves. They become really short if Shelvey leaves. You're one injury, one suspension, one out-of-form run from a crisis, really, I would say. I don't think that's too strong. Is it now not the time to make a move, or do you think there's something larger at play? Are they all focusing on the summer? They are focusing on that financial fair play and trying to stick within the restrictions of it?
I think they're firmly focused on the summer, and it's been the case all month. That's why they spent most of the month on a watching brief without really making a move. They've been reactive rather than proactive in the last couple of days, in the sense that Chris Wood left and all of a sudden they went and bought Gordon. Now Shelvey's going and they're back in the market for a midfielder. Eddie Howe touched on it yesterday at his press conference, and he hit the nail on the head. They don't want to go out and just sign players for the sake of it. Even though they're going to be, you know, a bit light, maybe they're thinking is that because Gordon's came in, Joelinton can drop back into centre midfield and they've got technically an extra body there. I still think they're very, very short in that area of the pitch. But I think ultimately that, you know, they know the summer is going to be a huge overhaul. They've spent 200 million in the last 12 months. It was always going to be a quieter month this month, and they are now, you know, we're at panic stations now, and I think they're trying their best not to panic, you know, when they think they might be able to get away with it.
Ross says, what about Conor Gallagher? Do you think we will get him? Now, we know Newcastle have had a long-standing interest in Conor Gallagher. They've watched him. They clearly like him. You know, he impressed on loan at Crystal Palace. You know, and Newcastle were also trying to get him last January. He chose to go to Palace. It's widely believed. This time around, reports suggest Newcastle like him again this January. He has rejected a possibility of a move to Everton, and if he is to leave Chelsea, he would like it to be Newcastle United. Unfortunately for Newcastle United, they are well ahead of Chelsea in the Premier League table. They are seen as a direct rival which I think is maybe a bit of a stretch, actually, because Newcastle are so far ahead of Chelsea. But, you know, I can understand that claim. And that's why Chelsea are very unlikely to let Conor Gallagher go to a team who will keep them out of the top four.
Yeah, Eddie Howe touched on it in the summer that, you know, the clubs around them in the Premier League were very, very reluctant to help them out in the summer window. And that's just, you know, multiplied tenfold this time around because of how well Newcastle are doing in the league. Conor Gallagher may well leave Chelsea this weekend today because of their squad and how bloated it is and the fact that they might be going out and getting Enzo Fernandez from Benfica. But it's more likely that he probably joins a team around Everton, Palace, Leicester, one of those teams rather than Newcastle, because Chelsea seemingly aren't willing to do business with Newcastle at this moment in time, which is a shame because on the face of it, that looks like quite a good deal they could do. I think the player would fit in Eddie Howe's style. But as I say, Chelsea are just not in the mood to give them any sort of help in the Premier League.
But again, it would appear that if that deal was to happen, it would be a loan with an obligation potentially to buy in the summer. The interesting thing is that the perception of Newcastle United outside of Tyneside is the richest club in the world. You've got Chelsea spending like there's no tomorrow. And what you have is Newcastle in a really strong position here. You know, you go out and you spend X amount of money on one or two players, you could really strengthen your squad and pretty much secure top four. Some might say if you don't do that in the remaining hours, you're gambling a bit, you're rolling the dice. But others might say, well, it's a sensible approach, you know, because Newcastle aren't going to go out and spend all this money this January and risk what they can spend in the summer. They have a plan. Yes, they might move it forward in terms of when they go and get the players, but largely spending like there's no tomorrow isn't part of that plan.
No, definitely. And as I touched on this month, they're in quite a luxurious position in the sense that they're third in the table. This current crop of players has got them there. It's potentially got them to a League Cup final if they get through tonight. There isn't really that need to say, right, we definitely need to go out and strengthen like there was when Wood left. Howe, I think, thinks they can probably get away with it if you can keep Anderson fit, if you maybe move someone like Richie into centre. I mean, I don't know, but clearly, it's not the end of the world if they don't get a deal in today, I don't think, but they are very short.
It would become potentially the end of the world if Bruno picks up
an
injury.
Yeah, this is the thing. You're gambling really on the fitness of those four or five players that are going to be sort of backbone in the middle. But as you say, they can't go out and keep spending all this money every single window. They spent so much last year. They've had no corporate sponsorship really come in. They've got no new kit sponsor. All these things we talk about managing FFP, it's still the exact same as it was last week. It just so happens that Forrest seemed to have caught them on the hop again by saying, we really want Shelvey, and the player himself saying that he wanted the move, which has sort of forced Eddie Howe's hand again.
David says the midfield needs to stay fit for the remainder of the season, but it is a gamble, hopefully no injuries. Yes, that's what we're hoping on. And you know, they may get to the end of the season without any injuries, but this is football, and every now and then an injury does seem to crop up. One man who has signed is the man you can see behind me if you're watching live, Harrison Ashby from West Ham. Aaron, it kind of fits into what Dan Ashworth was saying on Sky Sports a couple of weeks back about not constantly going out and spending loads and loads of money, about looking towards the youth ranks and buying in players who they can develop and then throw into the first team. This chap has only played a handful of times for the West Ham first team. Mm-hmm. Held in high regard, David Moyes wanted to keep him. Newcastle have gone and got him for, what, about 3-4 million, you know, which isn't the biggest outlay. Potentially, though, when you look at it, it's maybe a big outlay in terms of his experience and his age. But clearly someone they like. And again, it just fits into that plan of what Dan Ashworth and Eddie Howe want to do at Newcastle. And that is, you know, develop their own players rather than having to go out and spend 40, 50 million on you know, seasoned pros.
100%. And anybody who watches or listens to this podcast knows, you know, I've been really, really wanting them to sign a backup right back all month, and they've luckily went out and done that. And I think the fact that you've got Kieran Trippier in that position, a player who's never really going to lose a spot, Ashworth's right. You can't go out and, you know, keep buying players for the here and now. It's a perfect opportunity to go out and buy a youngster. And a youngster that they've wanted for a while. They've clearly done their homework on him, despite the fact he's only played 7 senior games for West Ham. And as you touched on there, David Moyes coming out last night, very, very gutted to lose him. They tried everything they could to keep him at West Ham, both in the summer and this month, to try and get him to sign a new contract. But, you know, Newcastle was, you know, he wanted to move in the summer. He's finally got it now. And it just fits, a, you know, it's a really nice hole that they needed fit in. And they've signed, you know, the perfect type of player, I think, to fill it.
And we've got David again in the comments here making an excellent point, which I think most people will agree with. It's a point I've been making as well at the start of this episode. Is remember the panic, he says, when Bruno went off with his ankle. That's when we had Shelby. So even we're in shorter now, he says, about the club and how, but it's risky. It's Hayden or Henrik. Got a release clause. I mean, do you want to address those two points? I mean, we kind of addressed the first one. It is a gamble. It is a risk. And they are shorter when Shelby leaves.
Yeah, I mean, Hayden is obviously out with a knee injury. He won't be back for a while. Jeff Hendrick, I don't believe, has a release clause. Certainly Isaac Hayden definitely doesn't. So those two are definitely off the table. Whoever made that comment there, David, is absolutely right. We were having this conversation last week when Shelby was close to coming back to fitness, and we still said they were going to be light then. So now, you know, they're looking even more stretched. As I said earlier, do you have to then move somebody into that position? Fabian Scher goes and sits at the base of the defence or at the base of the midfield. But I'm not saying that's the answer, but I'm just saying, does Howe look at that squad and think, we can probably manoeuvre one or two of these players so that if we don't get anything over the line today, we've got Willock, Bruno, Joe Linton, Longstaff, Anderson when he's fit, and then maybe one or two that could maybe fill in. That's maybe why they're reluctant to go out and spend today when they feel like they maybe need to. But ultimately, you know, as I said, we've been saying it all month, they are desperately short in midfield, and Shelby just, you know, causes more problems in that department.
Big, big opportunity for Elliot Anderson. If they don't manage to get anyone in, fingers crossed that works out. Fingers crossed he gets past these little injuries he's been picking up, because he's a clear, clear talent. And, you know, I'm sure you would relish the opportunity to help Newcastle secure top four football and a potential piece of silverware. The other interesting bit is every time Eddie Howe's been asked about the transfer window, we knew even before the window opened that he wanted to bring in a number six. He wanted someone just to kind of lie at the back then and pick up, stop the attacks, you know, or start them for Newcastle, stop the opposition. You know, that's what he wanted. Obviously, the priorities moved back and forth. It's disappointing he hasn't managed to get one, but he's always said the player has to be right. He said that about when Wood left, the player has to be right. Said that about Shelby, the player has to be right. Just how difficult do you think that's made the task of the likes of Steve Nixon and Eddie Howe to bring someone in where they're a clear talent, but also they fit into that squad without any issues?
Yeah, difficult. I mean, I think luckily for Newcastle, they're all working in tandem. Nixon, Ashworth, Howe, all on the same page. I think it's very, very telling that they continue to be linked with players and by players that they've been, you know, snubbed for 6 months earlier. Anthony Gordon, Harrison Ashby, two players they really wanted in the summer. Conor Gallagher, a player they really wanted, you know, 12 months ago, never mind the summer. So they're not put off. You know, we've seen it with Botman last year. We've seen it with Gordon. We might well see it with someone like James Maddison in the summer, where they just think now's the time to strike. Leicester obviously don't want to let the player go in January. He's going to probably cost a pretty penny with only a year left on his deal. So it is hard, probably, for Nixon to find not only the talented players but the right character. But they've hit the jackpot so far. Every single player that's came in has bought into the ethos, worked hard, you know, completely believes in Eddie Howe. Harrison Ashby's interview today was brilliant. And if anybody hasn't watched it, I would recommend it. And he said the reason he wants to join Newcastle, despite being an East End lad and coming from London, is he's seen what Eddie Howe can do with Kraft and Joe Linton and players, and he thinks he can take players from here up to another level, and he wants to do that. So everyone that they've bought so far has bought into it, and I think, you know, you've got to have total faith in the scouting team for the players they've been finding.
David's got the hat trick of comments here. I don't think that's happened before, where I put three of the comments from the same person in a row. Are the black and white shirts done on purpose?
I think the quality of our webcam in this studio is quite poor. So really, it's navy blue and white, but maybe next episode.
We'll have to go black and white. I think we'll look quite fetching, don't we? I think the other thing as well, what's refreshing, is that the transfer team know exactly what they're looking for. Everyone's on the same page. Whereas under Mike Ashley, everyone was kind of pulling in different directions. You know, you look back at when Rafa Benitez, you obviously wanted workhorses, you wanted what have you, but that didn't really fit into what Mike Ashley wanted. So I think that's really refreshing that. I think, you know, if they don't get anyone else in, it'll be kind of a group decision. This, you know, this person isn't right, that person isn't right, we'll go back in the summer. And that's key because they're building for the future. I mean, David as well, we'll give him the fourth. He's got four in this this podcast. Here we go. There are other people watching, by the way. And if you are watching, get into the comments. David says, other clubs don't want to do business with us either. That's another issue. And that goes back to the Conor Gallagher interest, doesn't it? I mean, Newcastle are in such a position now that teams just don't want to lend their players to them or sell them unless it's for a massive premium. And you can, from other teams' perspective, totally understand why.
I think if the shoe was on the other foot, if the likes of Manchester City came in and wanted to do business for Bruno or Botman, you know, it's totally understandable that Newcastle United fans would be very disappointed in it. Gone are the days when Newcastle could probably pinch a Liverpool or Manchester United player on loan when they needed to. But it's why the club are setting up these, you know, extensive scouting networks in clubs like Portugal and Brazil so that they can find young talent. And you know, anybody who came to the live event we did the other night, this point was made, but yeah, I think it was Kieran Kelly that made it. He said that the club in a couple of years don't want to be paying, you know, £100 million per player ever because they want to nurture these players through. So on one hand, yes, Newcastle United are going to struggle not being able to take players from other Premier League teams. But on the other hand, you know, they're clearly putting work in behind the scenes to make sure that they can overcome that hurdle, you know, by scouting the best players from outside the Prem.
Right, I'm going to just read you some names, some rumours. And a few people mentioned James Maddison. So all the names I'm mentioning here, I'm talking about today. In the next few hours, are they going to sign them today or have the interest? So James Maddison.
Not today.
Not today. The Sun have linked Newcastle with Calvin Phillips, but when it's our man, so you're not going to let him go. I mean, that would be, that would fit, I think, the profile, but I don't think he's that fit. He's still recovering from that injury. And I don't think Man City are going to let him go. Now, Jack Harrison's quite an interesting one. There's, again, interest, previous interest in him. Could you see Newcastle making a late move for him? He's been linked with a move to Leicester City in the remaining hours, which then gets everyone excited about James Maddison. I don't think the two are necessarily linked. Of course, they've let or letting Iosi Perez go. I don't know if he's left yet, has he?
He hasn't at the moment, but I think he is, you know, on the cusp of going. He certainly was last week.
Not so as your Iosi Perez? No,
not for me.
I'm joking. Jack Harrison, though?
Harrison's an interesting one because obviously it looks like Leicester are really pushing to sign him today, which feels like quite a weird move. I always thought Harrison would, you know, take that step up after how well he's been playing for Leeds. I don't think Newcastle United will go from today purely because of the position that he's in. I think long term he would have been a very good addition if they'd been able to get him in the summer. But I couldn't see that one happening today.
It'd be a big, big price tag, I would imagine, as well. And you know, after that, I'm not really sure there's any names because we don't want to just list players for listing's sake. We're trying to, you know, bring you guys in live analysis and reaction to real potential signings. We're not just going to list anyone just for the sake of it. And I think outside that pool we've just mentioned there, the ones that we know Newcastle have looked at previously or even this month, there's not really anyone that stands out. And that's even despite the fact that I think they need another striker and they need another midfielder. But it's clear that they've got this list they want to work from. And you're right, some of the names you've mentioned there, if it doesn't come off in the next few hours, you will probably see them linked and maybe even signed in the summer.
Yeah, I think the summer's, you know, destined to be very, very busy. Because if Newcastle United are, you know, playing either Champions League or Europa League or even Europa Conference League football, they're going to need, you know, a squad of 18, 19 real first team quality players. And then, you know, youngsters that are going to be able to back it up. They're going to need a very big squad to cope with the demand of two, potentially even three games a week at some stages. In an ideal world, I know you've obviously wanted another striker in. Wood's gone, I imagine.
Have they got enough? Sitting here right now, have they got enough up front?
Yeah, I think they do.
Just those two? Because what's your backup is playing St. Maximum
or Gordon,
Joe Linton.
Or I think between Isak, Wilson and Gordon / Maxi, I think you've got enough down the middle there I do. I think between now and the end of the season, you've got enough.
What's that saying? Forcing a square peg into a round hole.
Yeah, but at the same time, that it's the conversation that we've debated about this for a month, haven't we? Who is going to come in now? I mean, with what, 8 hours to go, it's not going to happen. But even if you're talking 2 or 3 days ago, who is going to come in and say, right, well, I'm potentially going to be third choice here, unless you go out and buy a youngster, which I think is what they've set a Gordon. He can play anywhere across the front three. He did play there for Everton. I know it's not his natural position, but they've clearly seen enough of him there to think that obviously he's not a like replacement with Wood, but he can probably do a job if needed. So I think between now and the summer, they'll be okay in attack. It's just midfield I'm a bit conscious about.
Ned says, what about James Ward-Prowse? Would he not be a good fit?
I feel like you've paid for this comment to be added because you've been
I love James Ward-Prowse.
Banging that drum.
I mean,
all month.
What a talented person. As long as he doesn't do it tonight, he has an absolute shocker, then I'll still be his biggest fan. I think he's absolutely brilliant. But no, look, he's going to cost a lot of money. He's not going to want to leave Southampton at this point when he's captained them. And hopefully, from his point of view, to safety in a League Cup final. In the summer, you could see a move. I'm not saying necessarily to Newcastle, but you can see clubs coming in for him because he's clearly a talent. 28 years old. His best years are probably just beginning now. Few better free kick takers in the Premier League. Yes, you're all going to shout out as I say Trippier, but I'd say they're on par. Absolute workhorse in the centre, but not a chance that's happening in the next few hours.
It might be worth Newcastle just lodging a cheeky bid in the next 6 hours, maybe just to get him to go on strike, or just to mess with his head a little bit before tonight's game, just so he's sending those free kicks into the stands rather than the goal. But yeah, fantastic player, but again, you know, one that hasn't really been linked, but he would be a fantastic addition.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What do the remaining hours of this window hold, though, for Newcastle United? Is it a case that, you know, what do you expect? Are you expecting them to sign anybody?
I mean, I'm opening myself up to some abuse here later on, but at this moment in time, I'm leaning towards the fact this is it for incomings.
Are they trying, do you believe?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, they've had inquiries in. We know the last couple of days they've been on Gallagher and Berger. We know that, you know, behind the scenes they've had this small group of players, and you know, I've even seen this morning the likes of Oliver Skip and Douglas Luiz linked. Whether there's any truth in that, I'm not too sure, but you know, those are the type of players that would fit the, you know, the profile. You could get them in on loan, you know, they're not expendable to their clubs. So I think they're trying, but I just think, have they left it a little bit too late? Shelby's, you know, exit has really scuppered things, in the sense that if Shelby had stayed, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation about the being light. There would still maybe be a bit short, but you'd have a lot more faith that they'd have enough bodies in. So I think from now till the deadline, 2 or 3 exits, 1 arrival at a push. But at the moment, I'm struggling to see who that would be.
You look around, obviously Chelsea have strengthened, Liverpool have brought in a couple, Arsenal like they're about to sign Jorginho. Do you see what the teams around them have done? You know, Spurs have gone and bought Dan Juma. Do you see those teams around Newcastle have they strengthened well enough to stop Newcastle's assault on the top four?
No, I wouldn't imagine so. I think Dan Juma, very good player. I'm sure a lot of people watching and listening to this would have fancied him at Newcastle, given, you know, how he's worked with Howe in the past. But I don't think you really look at any of those teams and think they've done enough across the last month to derail Newcastle. And I think at the same time, I don't look at this Newcastle window and think, right, they haven't done enough to, you know, to guarantee them European football this year. I think Isak coming back is going to be a huge boost. Gordon's arrival gives them, you know, added depth in a position they really needed it. Competition for Maxi, I think the only thing you look at is if they can just get one more body over the line in midfield, it would just give you a little bit more peace of mind. But I don't think looking at the other teams, Newcastle should be worried about their business.
If you could have your pick of anybody and fees, not an issue, wages, they want to come, a realistic pick, I'm assuming it'll be between Gallagher and Berge, who would you be picking?
Probably Conor Gallagher. I think he's more versatile. I think he offers, you know, a lot more. He can play out wide. Been playing quite well for Chelsea this year. Graham Potter clearly likes him. I think he would probably be the pick. But in the summer, if they still haven't signed him, I think all roads point back to James Maddison. I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. It just feels like there's an air of inevitability about him joining the club, given how long it's rumbled on for. So keep the powder dry and then go all out for him in the summer, I think.
Of course, boosted by the money they're expected to get in from Chris Wood and from John Joe Shelby, which all helps in the summer.
Yeah, definitely. And look, I think Chris Wood was all set to stay at Newcastle until Forest launched, you know, a very attractive financial offer for him. I think the similar case with Shelby, also the fact that both players obviously wanted the move, but Newcastle have had to start getting some big wages off the books, and they've done that this month. So yeah, it's not all negative.
They have signed the man behind us, Harrison Ashby. So great to see. We want to watch for the future. They have signed Anthony Gordon, who could make his debut against West Ham on Saturday. We'll be, we think, in the stands tonight. So that'll give them another boost as well. Not that they'll need it. You know, tonight's going to be absolutely rocking. Are you nervous yet?
You know, as the day goes on, I'm starting to get a little bit more shaky. I know I'm not as nervous as you yet, but we see it's sort of, you know, forgotten that they've got a semi-final tonight because we've been so focused on who they're bringing in. I mean, yeah.
I've gone to bed thinking about it. I've woken up thinking about it.
You've been having sleepless nights for 2-3 weeks, haven't you? You've been in the doghouse for how much you've been worrying about it.
I just can't. I mean, this is like such a massive opportunity, and you know, we're very privileged to be, you know, reporting on tonight's game. But as fans, as a fan, I've got cup fever. I don't necessarily think I like it either.
Yeah, I think the closer we get to kick off, the more the nerves will kick in. And I'm just hoping that a nice start of the game, straight out the traps, early goal, settle the nerves a bit.
Of course, war flags, they said they've gone back to basics. There's going to be waivers and across all the seats. So pick one up if you're there, make it a proper good spectacle. They're going to have the scarves going. They have the DJ Shack as well, half an hour before kickoff.
You're looking forward to that.
I am. Yeah, I think it would be, hopefully we'll get the atmosphere bouncing and jumping. See what I did there?
Very good.
Even more. Let's just quickly then talk about the potential team tonight. We'll first of all say what we would do, and then we'll say probably in the answer what we think anyhow we'll do. I think we're in agreement that if it was you and I picking the team,
yeah,
it would be Isak to start.
Yep, 100%. Yeah,
Maxi to start.
Oh no,
not for you. I would take Maxi to start in place of Willick, but you would keep the rest as it is.
Yeah,
right. What will Eddie Howe do?
I think he goes unchanged from last week. If we know anything about Eddie Howe, he doesn't change a winning team, and I think it would be a big gamble for him, because he doesn't take those risks very often, for him to change it in the second leg of the semi-final that they're 1-0 up in. So I think we'd see Wilson from the start tonight.
How easy do you think it is for Eddie Howe to not be distracted by what's happening, you know, in the boardroom regarding transfers? Because it's a bit of a strange one, is it, to have such a momentous occasion happening on the same day as a deadline, transfer deadline day, when, you know, your team, if they wanted to, could be active and are trying to be active if the right deal comes along. You know, I suspect he's actually very good at that. He'll quite easily just shut it off. Not most managers could do that, though.
From every time we've spoken in the last couple of weeks, you get the same answer, and that is what usually happens is we go into a pre-match press conference on a Friday, and, you know, he's asked about transfers, and he says, well, you know, I'm focused on the game. Then we go into the post-match press conference after the game. We say, right, have you got any update on transfer? He goes, well, I haven't looked at my phone. I've been focused on the game. So he generally does, you know, solely focus on the game. He's got Ashworth and Nixon and his team behind him focusing on transfers. So I don't think for Howe personally it'll be, you know, too much of a distraction today.
So there'll be no phone calls? picking up since you want him? No.
Yeah, we might, if we see him on with a phone on the touchline, we might maybe think there's a late deal coming.
Lee says he's actually star for me, needs game time to show his ability. The game is perfect for him. Roger says, I think unchanged, but he personally would start Isak. And there's quite a few people saying Isak for them would start. Let me just get this final one here. I'd have Maxi and Isak to start to kill the game from the start and bring Wilson on there, which is my kind of way of thinking about it. But I agree, I don't think I will change it. Just finally, outgoings, because there's a lot of players who were linked to outgoings, but I think it's kind of been said, hasn't it, that while Newcastle would maybe be open to letting the likes of Fraser and Matt Ritchie go, there's not necessarily suitors to take them.
Yeah, look, at the start of the season, if you'd have given me one name that I thought was going to be leaving Newcastle, I think it was Ryan Fraser, you know, given that he's fit, not match fit, but he's not injured.
Sorry, did you say start of the season, start of January?
Sorry, start of January, sorry, is what I meant. He's fit, he's not injured, he's struggling to get the match day squad. Eddie Howe doesn't seemingly have an answer when we're asking him questions about him. But yeah, I think any outgoings at the moment, we look like we know what happening. Carl Dollar is done. As soon as that full-time whistle goes, barring any, you know, surprises or injuries, he will join Hull. George Shelby has completed his medical at Forest. He's going, apparently going to be back at the stadium tonight to say his goodbyes, which is a nice touch, I think, give him the lap of honour, hopefully. And then you may be looking at a couple of under 21 players. I know the likes of Bonswell were being looked at earlier in the week. You know, things have seemed to be going quiet on that, but it does look like, you know, all the outgoings that we know of is what's going to be happening tonight.
Interesting, because there is a few players you think they would like to get off the wage bill and just open up a few spaces, and maybe that'll have to happen in the summer when their valuation will be maybe a bit less. We've got Jordy Tune for Life saying, I hope Eddie doesn't change it. He sticks with the winning formula, so why change and disrupt how we play? Which is, I think, the reason we're saying we don't think he would change it. Just finally then, I just want to get your take on Anthony Gordon and his meeting with Kieran Trippier and Fabian Schär. I'm sure you guys have all seen the video on the Newcastle United YouTube account where Jason Tindall introduces Anthony Gordon to Kieran Trippier, makes a light remark about wanting to get the boxing gloves on and finish the, shall we say, disagreement Trippier had with Gordon when Everton faced Newcastle last in James's Park. He then introduces him to Fabian Schär, where Jason Tindall says something along the lines of, he doesn't ever get angry. Fabian Schär then says, well, I was only protecting my players. Anthony Gordon then responds, it's all very lighthearted, and responds, well, hopefully you'll do that for me now. And Fabian Schär, with the most fantastic response, goes, well, you'll have to deserve it first. And I just cannot stop watching. It is a brilliant 5-minute clip. Go and find it if you haven't. But what I took away from that, and it was all, again, I'll repeat, it was all very lighthearted. It was all done in jovial, tongue in cheek. But there is an underlying message there, is that this team has this unity that you know, you put on the black and white shirt and you are as one. And it gives a little bit of insight into the kind of player that Eddie Howe and Steve Nixon are looking for when it comes to Newcastle United, that you fight for each other, you fight for the cause, and you have to earn the right to be within that little group.
Yeah, definitely. I thought it was, you know, fantastic content seeing Gordon meeting them. I think we were all waiting for that reunion with Trippier, that reunion with Schär, and it obviously didn't disappoint. Typical Fabian Schär, you know, the bodyguard of the team. But yeah, look, fantastic to see. I think it's good to see that they're all, you know, they've all welcomed them seemingly with open arms. I'm sure they will have a good joke about that in the coming weeks. But I think it was very, very good of Gordon as well to say, you know, he acknowledged it and he said that, you know, I probably have to, you know, win the fans over. And he does, in a sense, because I know that opinion has sort of changed since he signed at the start of the window. Everybody was saying, I'm not too sure. Now, you know, the weather sort of changed and fans are behind him.
I think that's largely down to the content. The
media, but no, 100%. I think his first interview really set the tone. He said all the right words. The content the club have put out, you know, the players are clearly, you know, behind him. The fans should be as well. So,
well, I've got the quote here about that. And he says, I met them and we had a little joke about it. I respect them so much. They were fighting for their team. Same with me. Hopefully we can do that together now. I always give everything for the badge I'm playing for, and I won't apologize for that. And that quote, If you're a Newcastle United fan, you're jumping up and down hearing that, because that is exactly what you want here. Not just from a new player, not just because it's brilliant here from him, but also because that's exactly what every single member of that squad does right now. And for a new player to be saying that, coming in and actually understand, do you know what? He hasn't actually probably had time to understand it, so he's kind of saying it off his own back, which is actually even better, because he's only been here, what, a couple of days? There's no way he's understood it in that time. So to be saying that without settling it in, I think that's, I mean, I'm over the moon at that.
Definitely, and yeah, as I say, he said all the right things in his first interview. I thought it was a very, very mature interview for a 21-year-old. I thought his goodbye statement actually to Everton was really, really respectful, given, you know, obviously the way it ended from there. You just got to hope he can back it up on the pitch now.
You've been talking about there how the weather has changed on people's opinions about Anthony Gordon. You know what's coming? Shall I remind you about what you said last week?
I'll clarify what I said last week for those who haven't listened to the pod. And I said I don't think he's the man that drags Newcastle United to the top four. I'll stand by that, although I will admit that I'm slightly more open to the deal now. I think it's a lot of money. It's a bit of a gamble, but it's a deal for the long-term future. I think there's a player there to be unlocked if Eddie Howe can work his magic. I think we could have a real, real player on our hands. I still just don't think, though, at this moment in time, you look at him thinking he's going to walk straight into that first team, £40 million, they're going to, you know, be winning games week in, week out with him in the team. I think it'll be a slow burner. And I actually think, in my heart of hearts, it'll be a similar case of what he did with Bruno. Wait and wait and wait until you think he's ready, and then you throw him at the team.
Well, Chris saying, definitely when they put the badge on, you give 100%, that's what he does. We've got David saying he'll give 100% for the club, and that's all we ask. And I'm looking forward to seeing how that one goes. Great to see everyone is welcoming him so nicely, given that he is, as you say, Aaron, there, only 21. It's a big, big move for him, from a club where he's been since he was 11 years old, moving from home. It's a long way to go. I know they get paid all this money and what have you, but, you know, when you strip everything back, he's still just a young lad. It is a massive move for him. So good to see the squad welcome him in. Right, we're going to sign off now. We may be back later. We'll definitely be back after full time tonight. How is tonight going to go?
I said it the other night, I'll say it again. I think they win tonight 2-0 or 3-0. Then we're all partying tonight in the air on the streets of Tyneside.
There we have it. Well, head over to chroniclelive.co.uk to keep up to date with all the latest Newcastle United news, including our dedicated live transfer blog, where we will bring you all the rumours, gossip and hard stories from the remaining hours of this transfer window. And then we'll bring you live coverage of Newcastle's second leg against Southampton in the EFL Cup through our live blog. Aaron, Lee, Kieran up at the ground, bringing you the best in opinion analysis of the game. And we'll bring you all the reaction, the closure of the window, and fingers crossed, Newcastle's win, which sends them to Wembley. Let's keep everything crossed, lads. This has been Everything is Black and White podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in.